Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28. We shall read from verse 16. Matthew, chapter 28, from verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. After the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, we see clearly that those who were appointed to keep the living among the dead were foiled. They were defeated. And after the earthquake, the angel sits calmly on the tomb and assures the women that they have no need to be afraid. Fear not ye, he says. The soldiers were afraid. They were quaking. But the women do not need to be afraid. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. For he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Let your eyes feast on the empty tomb. He is not here. Here's the proof that he is risen, as he said. So the women leave the tomb fearful but full of joy. And then the Lord Jesus himself meets them, and he assures them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. The Lord Jesus later on himself appears to the disciples. Peace be unto you. But Thomas was not there at that time. But later on the Lord Jesus appears to the disciples when Thomas was there. And the one who had said, Except I see the print of the nails, I will not believe. Now sees the Lord Jesus himself, and the Savior tells him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And then we read about the Lord Jesus appearing on the shore while seven disciples were fishing, and they did not know that it was Jesus. And he asked them, Children, have ye any meat? They said, No. Cast the net on the other side. And so they did. And there was a great catch. One of the disciples, John, says, It is the Lord. And when Peter hears that it is the Lord, he wraps himself and casts himself into the sea to swim to his Savior. And on this occasion, we read that they saw Jesus in a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. The 11 disciples went there. And perhaps this was the occasion in which 500 saw the Lord at once. We read, And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. One commentator says, Surely not the 11 disciples. They had seen the Lord Jesus. They would not have doubted his resurrection. But if there were 500 there at once, then we may well suppose that some of them doubted. Another says, Perhaps the simplest explanation of that some doubted is that they saw him from a distance, and immediately some recognized him and fell down and worshipped him. Some were not so sure. They doubted. But then we read verse 18, And Jesus came. When Jesus came to them, he approached nearer, then all doubt was dispelled. Jesus came and spake unto them. Is that not what we need? Jesus to come near to us and speak to us. It is then that all doubt will be dispelled. We will be assured that the Lord is our Savior, we are His people. That's for believers I'm thinking of. Of course, all of us are commanded to repent and believe. And we should be praying earnestly that the Lord would show Himself to us. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, and what did He say to them? What was the message for His disciples and indeed for the church through the disciples? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Everything has been committed to Christ. He finished the work that God gave him to do. And now he receives the reward of that work. And a kingdom is committed to him. All power is given unto me. All power in heaven. Angels, principalities are made subject to him. And the whole power of heaven's love and wisdom and strength is given to him for the benefit of his disciples. And all power in earth as well, over all persons and passions and principles and all movements, everything is in the dominion of Christ. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Here is the encouragement of the servants of the Lord. And they have so much comfort given to them when the Lord Jesus commissions them to go forth preaching His word. Go ye therefore, because all power is given to me, go therefore. Here is what you are to do. Go forward and teach all nations. The whole world is to be brought under the dominion of Christ. Who are we, the 11 disciples would say, that we should conquer the world who have barely conquered our own misgivings? Thomas had just had to recover from his doubt. The one disciple had just denied his Lord. And now the Lord Jesus is telling them to conquer the world for him. Make disciples of all nations. Bring the converts within. Give them the seal of visible discipleship, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. How are we to do this, they might say. All power is given unto me, the Lord Jesus says. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Here is the encouragement for the servants of the Lord, and indeed for the church. Whoever has the duty, and all of us have the duty, to be useful in His cause, to seek the advance of His kingdom in this world. And we are to rely upon the Savior for the strength to do His will. Go ye therefore, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Should we not be thankful to the Lord that He assures us even today in the 21st century that He will help His people who are to reach out to others and to be useful in His cause, to bring those from without who are yet in the kingdom of Satan, to preach the word by example as well as by speech, to bring others to Christ. Yes, primarily through the ministry, but all of us have our work to do, and we are to go forward relying upon Christ for help. With the Lord's help, then, this morning, we would consider, first of all, the power of Christ. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The power of Christ. And in the second place, the prescription of Christ. What He prescribes for us, what He gives us as a command to do. In other words, the commission. what it is that he would have us to do, the prescription of Christ, and that is, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The prescription of Christ. And in the third place, the promise of Christ. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The promise of Christ. The power, the prescription, the promise of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the power of Christ. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Here is a kingdom, a dominion that is committed to Christ. The word power can be translated authority. Parents are given authority over their children. Ministers and elders are given authority, ministerial authority, in the church. Magistrates, civil leaders are given authority over the subjects to be under God over the people. Here is authority given to Christ. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Here is universal authority, a universal dominion, not only here on earth, but in heaven itself. And this tells us, of course, that the one to whom all authority is given is none other than God himself. Yes, here is a dominion committed to Christ, who is both God and man, in two distinct natures, divine and human, and one person forever. All power is given unto me. Now, this dominion that is given to Christ is given to him as a reward for his finished work. It is a dominion that is distinct from his dominion which he has as God. Yes, he is God. And this dominion could not be his if he was not God. He is the eternal Son of the living God. And only because he is God can this dominion be committed to him. But we read in Philippians chapter 2 about a dominion that is committed to Christ as the reward of finishing the work that God the Father assigned him. In Philippians chapter 2, we read at verse 5 about Christ Jesus, verse 6, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So he is God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. His glory was veiled, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, in other words, he became man, he was not mere man, he was God and man, but he did become man. He humbled himself and became obedient. You see, he was obeying the will of God the Father. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, wherefore, because of this, because he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Yes, in heaven and in earth. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven. Christ has authority over things in heaven and things in earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth and things under the earth. Christ has universal dominion, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Here is dominion that is committed to Christ, distinct from the dominion which he has essentially as God. Again, if he was not God, this dominion could not be his. He must be infinite in order to discharge this vast realm of the whole universe. But it is a dominion which is committed to him, grounded in the fact that he completed the work given him to do. He obeyed the law, he suffered the wrath of God, he effected reconciliation between offended God and sinful man, he satisfied divine justice, he finished the work, and as the reward of that completed work, God the Father highly exalts him. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. Or as in margin it says, behold, my servant shall prosper. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And then Isaiah chapter 53 goes on to explain how it was that preceding that exaltation, the Lord Jesus experienced humiliation. He was performing obedience to the will of God in his humiliation, suffering the wrath of God in obedience to the divine will. And as the result of that, God highly exalts him. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he made intercession for the transgressors, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And so, the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord, assures his disciples that all power, all authority is given to him. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, as we read in Matthew chapter 11. All power in heaven, as the reward of the work given him to do. Yes, the whole power of heaven's love is given to Christ for the benefit of his disciples and his church. God the Father loves his people. And the Lord Jesus says, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And this is committed to him, to be by him, the risen Lord, committed to his people, given to his people, for the benefit of his people, his disciples. The goodwill of heaven, the whole power of heaven's love is given to me, the Lord Jesus says. And that is for the benefit of his disciples, to assure them that God will be with them. And all the power, That is the strength, so that they might carry out the will of God. That is committed to Christ for the benefit of his people. Go ye therefore. Because the power is committed to me, the Lord Jesus says, I'm commanding you to go, knowing that this power is given to me for your benefit. The whole power of heaven's love and strength and wisdom. Yes, the disciples of the Lord would need great wisdom to know how to carry out the duties, the requirements of their Lord. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Yes, here is infinite wisdom given to Christ for the benefit of his people. In whom, that is in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And it is all for the benefit of his people. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Because of this, you may go, knowing that you will be strengthened, you will be given direction, and you will have the assurance of my love. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The Lord Jesus has power over all people, all nations, and all the passions of men and women that would be unleashed against the ongoing conquest of the Lord Jesus. There would be opposition. They would meet with resistance. But all power in earth over men, women, all the passions, all the opposition is committed to me. To be by me, the risen Lord, placed at your command for you to rely upon, to make use of, to be strengthened in the conflict. Yes, the Lord Jesus has the power on earth to restrain men, not only to restrain them, but to completely conquer them, to send out the arrows of conviction, to cause that the field of battle would be strewn with dead bodies, that is, made dead to sin and alive to Christ. There would be a whole world conquered for Christ. Go ye into all the world, we read in Mark chapter 16. The whole power that is in earth is given to Christ for the benefit of his church. To bend all to this one great high purpose and object in view, and that is the evangelization of the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. The whole earth will be full of the glory of the Lord. And so when kingdoms are conquered by world conquerors such as Alexander the Great and Caesar, all of this is made subservient to the great end that Christ has, and that is the conquering of the world for himself. And all will be put to use in his vast realm for his glory. And what about ourselves? What conflicts do we have in our own life, such that we need divine help? We need one that assures us all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Here on earth we meet with difficulties, and we have concerns about our future safety. We need divine aid. We need the help of God. Those little things, those large things, all is in the control of Christ. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. The military conflicts that are not so far away in this small world of ours, they are in the power and dominion of Christ. On the motorway, the large vehicles that you feel will crush your little car, that's in the power of Christ. The all power in heaven and in earth, all power in church and state, is under the dominion of Christ. Whatever is upon our mind, whatever difficulty, let us rest assured that all is under the supreme authority of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in earth as well as heaven. And so that the spiritual powers that seek to overthrow the spirituality of God's people, that power is under the dominion of Christ. The fiery darts of Satan are all numbered. Though he has some power, Satan, to cause the Lord's people to be discouraged, yet the limits of his power are marked out by him who says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. The fiery darts are numbered. There is a limitation, and it is all within the bounds of him who has universal dominion over all things. Yes, he has power on earth to forgive sins. He has power on earth to pardon iniquity. And you remember the account in which the four who tried to bring their paralyzed friend to the Savior, And they could not because of the press. There was such a great crowd, and so they climb upon the roof and take up the tiles and let down their friend by the cords. The Lord Jesus sees their faith. He commands the lame man to walk. Or rather, I should say, he assures the lame man that he has power on earth to forgive sins. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Some doubted whether he had that authority. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to him that was sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. So the miracle was a demonstration of the fact that he had power to forgive the sins of that poor lame man. And so, Fred, he has power on earth for you, poor creature, an inhabitant of earth, to forgive your sin here in time. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He has also power to conquer your sinful nature. The old man that rises up against you and causes you to feel that one day you will perish by the hand of Saul, the Lord Jesus has power to send his Spirit to conquer that sinful passion within and enable you to rise victorious over this sinful nature, putting off the old man, putting on the new man. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And power he has to work all things for the good of his people. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The whole power of heaven's love, strength, and wisdom is committed to him for the benefit of his people. The whole power over earth, power over everything, everyone, all passions and principles, to bend all to the one great end, and that is the evangelization of the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Well, having considered the power of Christ, let us consider in the second place the prescription of Christ. Verse 19, go ye therefore. Here is the commission of Christ for his disciples. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Here is what Christ prescribes his church and his church through his ministers. So here he is in Galilee, speaking to his 11 disciples, his apostles. Perhaps there were 500 as well who gathered around to see the risen Lord. He comes to them, he speaks to them, he assures them that all power is his and for their benefit. Now he has a commission. He prescribes to them this duty to go. And to do what? Teach all nations. Or as it is in the margin, make disciples of all nations. There are to be converts to Christianity. The ministers of Christ are to make disciples of the heathen. They are to be brought out from without to within the pale of the visible church. They are to be disciples. In other words, they are to be placing themselves under the teaching of Christ and to follow the precepts of Christ. So those who are on the outside in the heathen nations, they are to be conquered for Christ. They are to be brought within the pale of the visible church, enrolled in the school of Christ. They are to be his pupils, his disciples. And we read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, the disciple is not above his master. Just as the servant is not greater than his Lord, the disciple is not above the teacher. They are to be disciples, and this is what the servants of the Lord are to bring about. Make disciples of all nations. Yes, they are to be gathered from all the nations. And that is what we read in Mark chapter 16. Go ye into all the world, all the nations. There is no nation to be excluded from the reach of the church for the evangelization of sinners, bringing them, all nations, under the authority of Christ, enrolled in his school, brought within the pale of the visible church. Of course, not only so, not just to be a visible disciple, but a disciple indeed, of course. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that is the intention. That, as we read in Luke chapter 24, that repentance, the Lord Jesus says, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So the nations are to be conquered. They are to be brought in the fold. They are to be made the kingdom of Christ. The power is committed to him. Here's a work to do, and that is his ministers are to go and preach the gospel to every creature, that there might be disciples, that there might be converts, that they might be brought in, that there would be repentance as well as forgiveness of sins. He that believeth on him is not condemned, we read in John chapter 3. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, that is the message of the preaching of the word. And yes, it is through the preaching of the word that sinners are saved. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That is the primary means of salvation. Outside the visible church, there is no ordinary possibility of salvation. There may be an extraordinary situation in which a poor sinner will hear a verse of scripture read and be converted. That can happen. The Lord is not restricted to this particular means, but it is the ordinary means. The preaching of the word is the ordinary means by which sinners are saved. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so, of course, we should be praying that God would raise up ministers of the gospel to preach his word. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We should be praying that God would put it in the hearts of men to be willing to devote themselves to the work of preaching the word, that they would be given grace, not extraordinary grace, we're not thinking of that, but that they would be given a measure of grace to preach the word, to devote their lives to the cause of Christ, that they would be useful in sounding forth the word according to God's appointed and ordinary means, to the effect of sinners being conquered for Christ, being made disciples, being made Christians, brought to Christ himself. And so this is what we should be praying for. And young men in the church should, of course, examine themselves and be asking the Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We don't live in extraordinary times, so we don't have apostles, but we do have pastors. And we should be praying for such, that there would be more, that the Lord would send them forth into the harvest. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In the Gospel according to Mark chapter 16, we have the sphere in which the commission is made known. That is the object in view, and that is all the world, every creature. Of course, that's here as well. Teach all nations. No one is excluded from the commission of Christ. And that is what we should lay to heart, friends, this Sabbath day. We are not excluded from the privilege of hearing the gospel. The church is responsible to ensure that everyone is under the sound of the gospel. We're not to fold our arms and say, well, it's true that some will be blinded. It is our duty to seek, to pray for, to employ the means of ensuring that everyone would be under the sound of the word, of the truth of the gospel, that they might be saved. But what about ourselves? Are we laying this to heart? That in the mercy of God, we have not been excluded from the knowledge of Christ and the way of salvation. Now, are we excluding ourselves from the benefit of that knowledge? In other words, are we rejecting the gospel? Or are we receiving it with open arms? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Are we joyfully acquiescing in this truth? Are we receiving Christ? Are we welcoming a Savior? Are we concurring with the sound of praise from the angels? Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Friend, take the warning, but rather take the offer and receive Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. When a disciple is made, the disciple is to receive the seal of the covenant of grace, the sign and seal of engrafting into Christ and partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace and our engagement to be the Lord's. Yes, a disciple is devoting himself to the Lord. He or she is saying, I'm only the Lord's. I'm entirely the Lord's. I belong to Him, not just partly, but fully. And not to Him in addition to others, but only to Him. Here is an engagement to be entirely and exclusively. That's what it means when it says holy and only the Lord's. Have we enrolled in the school of Christ? Do we devote ourselves to the Lord? Then the sign and seal of visible discipleship is to be applied. They are to be baptized. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. There was one heathen man, at least one time a heathen. He was an Ethiopian, a eunuch. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. He reads the prophet Isaiah in his chariot. Philip joins him. Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I except one explain to me? And after explaining to him that the prophet was not speaking of himself, but Isaiah, but the Lord Jesus himself in his humiliation, the Ethiopian eunuch says, here is water. What hinders me that I should not be baptized? And Philip says, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And so the Ethiopian eunuch says, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ." And so the chariot is stopped, and Philip baptizes the eunuch. And he goes on rejoicing. He receives the sign of engrafting into Christ, of regeneration, of remission of sins. He received the seal, a confirmation of his belonging to the Lord. And the Lord Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The word "in" can be translated "into." Baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That is, baptize them into the whole fullness of the grace of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost as belonging to them that believe. Those who believe in Christ receive a fullness of grace from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And baptism is the sign and seal of that. It represents that grace, that abundant grace that belongs to them who believe. And it confirms it to them. They are given assurance of that. And being united to Christ, they are united one to another. And they receive the confirmation of that. Baptized into one spirit, being one body, they are baptized into one spirit, into one body. And so the disciples receive the seal of visible discipleship, and that is, they are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Here is, in these words, of course, a proof of the doctrine of the Trinity in the name, one name, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. God is one God in three persons. He is one as to his essence. He is three as to his person. There is no contradiction. One in one way, three in another way. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them. So they are made disciples. They receive the sign and seal of visible discipleship. But it does not end there. They are to go on. The disciples are to go on and learn more. They are to be taught all things whatsoever the Lord Jesus has commanded. And this is a command. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them. It is a command. It's all prescribed by Christ, the head of the church. And so we should ask ourselves, being baptized, we are disciples. Being disciples, we are in the school of Christ. We profess to submit to his teaching, to conform to his precepts. Now the question is, are we so? Are we seeking to learn and to obey all that Christ is teaching us, all that he is commanding us? There is nothing in any area of our lives that is not to be devoted to Christ and his teaching. Nothing comes outside of that realm of learning that Christ has prescribed. We are not to point to any area of our lives and say, "Well, this is left to me to decide." No. All that we do comes under the authority of Christ. And therefore, the whole counsel of God is to be proclaimed. We are to submit to all the teaching of Christ, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Whatever we can think of, whether it is doctrine or worship, church government, discipline, all is under the authority of Christ. And all comes under, is to be known by His Word. In every area of our life, in employment, education, our future, everything is to be brought under the submission and teaching of the Savior. It is not an option or a suggestion. The Lord Jesus says He commands. And therefore, we should be submitting to His teaching in every way, in everything. Let us go to someone's closet. We can put our ear to the door and try to find out what in the secret place this person is praying. He says, "Lord, I want to be a disciple, but I just want to learn a few things that Thou hast to tell me in Thy Word. I want some part of my heart to be left for liberty." We would just immediately stop and say, "Absurd, something's wrong." And so it is, if we are partial in our adherence to the Lord, then our Christianity is suspect. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." But let us not think that here is a burden being laid upon us. Remember, God's Word is the perfect law of liberty. If we have grace at all, we have a principle that loves holiness, that loves the law of God, that delights in the law of God after the inward man. It is the corrupt nature that finds anything of God's way and will to be grievous. John the Apostle says His commandments are not grievous. And therefore it should be a delight to us to submit to the Lord Jesus in all things. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." But to help us in this, if we are His people, let us lay hold finally in the third place of the promise of Christ. He does not leave us to ourselves. He does not say, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you," and then says, "Amen." He gives us an encouragement. "Here is the promise, friends. And lo, behold," attention, this is what He would have us to take special notice of. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." There was a time in which the people of the Jews were being lazy. And they were thinking about their own houses. They were not paying attention to the work of the Lord that needed to be done. And in Haggai chapter 1, we read that after Haggai spoke the word of the Lord to them and stirred them up to be diligent in the work of the Lord, that in verse 12 we read, "Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God," and so on. And the people did fear before Him. They put their hand to the plow. They began to do the work of the Lord in the temple. And then we read in verse 13, "Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord." The Lord Jesus commissions His servants to do His work. And going forward in the path of duty, He assures them, "Lo, I am with you." And then we read in chapter 2 of Haggai, they continued in the work of the Lord. And though they saw that the temple was not as it once was, the first temple was so much greater in its glory, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet, now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, And be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. Keep going. Be steadfast, unmovable, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Yes, the Lord Jesus assures his disciples, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Lord Jesus is with his people always. Literally, it is all the days. All the days. There is no day in which the Lord Jesus will be absent. Not only will he be with his people to the very end, but there will be no intermission, no cessation of in any period in which he will be away from them. I am with you all the days, every day. We might say, yes, we know the Lord will be with his people, and he will see to it that the work is accomplished, and every disciple will be brought to himself, but surely there will be times in which we will be in darkness, long intervention of clouds, and we will feel his absence. No, the Lord Jesus says, I'm with you all the days. Even in those times that you feel so low and discouraged, I am still with you all the days. And he will be with them until the very end. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In other words, until the completion of the age. Right now there is an ongoing work. But that work is not to go on and on forever. There will be a completion. There will be a consummation. And the progression will come to an end when the work is completed. I am with you all the days, even to the end, or the completion of the age. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And the cause of Christ will not come to an end till the end of the age. When the last disciple is brought in, the last convert is made, when all of his people are brought within the fold, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring in, and there will be one shepherd, one fold. The Lord Jesus will gather all his elect into his church. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He assures his servants who preach his word. He told Paul the Apostle on one occasion, fear not, Paul, I have much people in this city. The Lord knows where his people are. He will bring each one of them to himself. He says to his church, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so, what an encouragement it is to the people of God and to the workers in his kingdom. The Lord Jesus says to Simon Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The 11 disciples here could have thought to themselves, how shall we do this? How can we conquer the world for thee? But the Lord Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He tells them, I will build my church. I will give you the grace. I will give you the strength. I assure you of my presence. And so, what more could we ask for? To be comforted and strengthened, encouraged in the work of the Lord. The Lord gives us all that we need. All that we need is his. All power is committed to him for the behoof, for the benefit of his church. And we should learn from this the sole authority of Christ. If all power is committed to him, then we must learn that all authority that we see in this world really belongs to him. Magistrates, civil leaders, are to submit to themselves to the King of kings and Lord of lords. All the kingdoms of this world are to be the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And authority in the church belongs to Christ. The authority that ministers and elders have is ministerial, as servants in the house. And whatever they implement, whatever authority they wield, is really the authority of Christ and must correspond with His authority made known in His Word. It is ministerial authority. All authority belongs to Him. And whatever comes into our view, such as the prescription, the directions, it is His Word. The preaching of the gospel is His ordinance. The government of the church is the government of Christ. The encouragements, the comforts are His. The wisdom that ministers rely upon is His wisdom. And His witness, the Holy Spirit, all is from Him. He will have all the glory. All power is given unto me. Lo, He says, I am with you. Not the vicar of Christ, not the Pope, not bishops. He Himself is with His church always. And this also tells us that the hearers should be praying that they would see no man save Jesus only. As Calvin points out, do not despise the word because of the instrument that communicates the word. It is the word of Christ. And so we should be praying that we would be seeing Him and hearing Him as we hear the word of God proclaimed. Lo, I am with you always, He says. Are we believers? Do we appreciate His commission? Are we seeking to obey? Is Christ precious to us? Is His presence precious to us? Well, then we have the comfort. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Lo, I am with you. Be strong and work, for I am with you. When you pass through difficulty, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Here is comfort for the poor child of God. Lo, listen, pay attention, I am with you. And friend, He will be with you as well, if you only believe. The Lord Jesus commands us to take His yoke, to follow His prescription. All power is committed to Him. He has the authority to command you to believe, to repent, to come now. Yes. But let us be thankful that it is the word of Him who has all authority. Yes, all things are delivered unto Him of His Father. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and He to whomsoever He will reveal Him. Matthew chapter 11. And it is His authority to invite you to come. His authority to assure you that He will give rest when you come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. May He bless His word. Let us pray.